Yishma Yisroi, Kohen Midyan, Chosen Moshe, is Kolash Rosa Lekim Moshe Yisroel. Ki Hoitzi Hashem Es Yisroel Yimitzroim. There's a machloikis in Chazal, when did Yisroel come to Yisroel in the Midbar? Did it happen before Matan Torah? Did it happen after Matan Torah? So Bishlam, if it happened before Matan Torah, I can understand why the parish is mentioned over here. That says he came after Matan Torah, why does the Torah mention it over here before Matan Torah? Second of all, you have to understand, Ayishma Yisrael Kohen Midyan Chosen Moshe. Chosen Moshe is a title which is very complimentary to him. He was Eicha to be the father-in-law of Moshe. But why does it mention Kohen Midyan? He was the priest of Midyan. He was the priest of Midyan. He was an Oved Avodah Zarah. To mention that Toch Kidei Dibur with Chosen Moshe, it's a little bit incongruous. Like, and what was the purpose of the Torah doing it? So L'chayra, I was thinking you could say like this. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in Parsha Shemois that Yisroi, what was the key to his success? How did he become Yisroi? How was he Zeichet to such Gedula? He was the father-in-law of Moshe. He was Zeichet to air the Parsha of the Torah. He was Zeichet that his grandson was a Kohen Gadol. He was Zeichet that Nebonov were on the Sanhedrin. They were in the Lishkas HaGoz. He was Zeichet to tremendous things. How does someone that's Mefate Magolam L'Avodah Zarah, and he worshipped every Avodah Zarah in the world, how all of a sudden, how does he reach such godless? So Rav Yankiv said in Parsha Shemais that you find sometimes a person can have an outstanding midah, and if he taps into that midah, that midah Tova could lift him l'mailo l'mailo beyond anything he could have imagined. Yisrei had a tremendous midah of Hakaras HaTov. First of all, when we were first introduced to Yisrael, when the Menais Yisrael came to him, and he asked him, "Ma'adu me'haratim bayayim, why are you hurried to come today?" They said, "Ish mitzri hitzilonu yad harayim." She said, "Bayayim, where is he? Why do you leave him over there? Krenav yaychel lecha." So Chazal say on that, "Gidoylu legimah shem kareves as a rechoykin." Legimah, chewing, eating. It's good, it's Makar of the Rechoykin. This is how Yisroi got an Im and Kal. Yisroi became the father-in-law of Moshe. And he was Zoyche, that Mibnei Bonav sat Belishkas HaGozes. That's because of this mice of Karenelei B'schus, Karenelei B'yoycha Lechem. He was Zoyche that his grandson sat Belishkas HaGozes. So that was one Indian of HaKoros HaTov. Secondly, Rav Yankiv says a very original chat. He said, Pari L'chor was right with the Hovan Eschak Malay. Because in Mitzrayim was Meshuvah to Pari. They were all Avodim to Pari. They sold themselves to Pari B'Shas Terav. The Zalpi Yosef, he instituted that. They sold all their properties and they were all Meshuvah to Pari. There was one nation that walked around free in Mitzrayim, and that was the Yid. So Pari had a very good cheshbon. You know, this could breed discontent. It could breed a rebellion on my half. You know, he had a very good gripe. Of Dr. Yankiv, there's one thing, one nekuda, and one cheshbon that overrides all of this. That's Hakaras HaTov. How can he be Meshabed the Yidden? I don't care what reason you have. But they were responsible for all the good that you had, all the power that Mitzrayim had, all the riches of Mitzrayim. Was Alpi Yosef, and Alpi, I mean, his family brought him, and they bred him. So the Cholapar is to Ephraim and Menashe Shemimakutai, but to Klal Yisrael as well. So this is the Eitzi he placed before, he has to shail in front of his advisory board. That's Bilam and Eoiv and Yisroi. Bilam was Mechazik the Eitzi. He said, I don't care about Hakaras HaTov. Eoiv was quiet, and Yisroi ran out in protest. It means Yisroi was willing to give up from the most chashuv positions in the world, being an advisor to the most powerful person in the most powerful country in the world. He's willing to give it up for the meat of Hakaras HaTov. That's really b'schus that Chazal say he was like that his grandson sat Belishkas HaGozes. As a matter of fact, with this he can answer up a kasha that the Marshoi asks. The Marshoi in Sanhedrin asks the courage to steer between two Chazals. One Chazal says the b'schus he said, Karenu lo'i b'yoichel lechem. he was zeiche that his grandson sacked Belishkas Hagozes. The other Chazal says it was b'schus that he ran out of this advice, this meeting, in protest. Is b'schus that Chayitz but if Rabbi Yanke becomes a very good because both in Yonim were one nekuda. It was the nekuda of Hakaras Hatay. So first he was tested. The original, the first thing that happened was this meeting with Parai. The Havan is Chakmalay Lechitchila. He was tested in Hakaras Hatayv, and he gave up his job because of that. So that alone maybe wouldn't have gotten it for him. You know, a lot of times Hakadosh Baruch Hu tests a person once and again before he gives him a Gevalah de Gishar, right? So first he was tested with the Rabbim of the Bnei Yisrael. Then afterwards, he was tested on a karas type to a yachid. The Moshe Rabbeinu Einar Alein, he was also makir type, so he was fit to get all of this gedulah. So you see in Yisrael, Gavaldi got karas type. This is why it's a hagdamah to Kabbalah satayra. You do the Ibn Ezra, and anoichi Hashem alaykecha, Hashem roitzei sicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So Yehuda Alevi asked Ibn Ezra, why does it say Hashem roitzei sicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim? It should say Hashem barosi shamayim v'aretz. Ibn Ezra, and Shemayim V'Oriz, that's not something that everybody could identify with. It was way back, we never saw it, the Yidden never saw it. So it's something that's not so much Oyla Allah Seichel to a person. But Yitzias Mitzrayim, they all experienced it. They all saw the Nisim. And the Me'el Al Tzakoras HaTayim, that is Mechayiv them. Avodim Hoyinu Lepari B'Mitzrayim. Hakaras HaTayv alone, for no other reason, is mechayev us that we have to be mekabel the Tayv. So it's mamish, it's a gevaldik smichus. The outstanding mida of Yisroi, how he was zeichet to that godless, is Hakaras HaTayv. And Oich Hashem Olikach Hashem Seichem Eretz Mitzrayim, that is a reason. Hakaras HaTayv alone is a reason for Kabbalah HaTayv. So that's a very good smichus in and of itself. But the emes is that the last parsha, last week said there's Amalek, parsha b'chias Amalek. Yalkam Hamloyah says Amalek is the epitome of Kviyas Toiv. Mamash is the epitome of Kviyas Toiv. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, Ger Yezarach of Eretz Loi Lohem. Why did Amalek wait till the Yidden left Mitzrayim to attack them? If he hated them, he could have attacked them in Mitzrayim also. Maybe Paru probably wouldn't have minded. Teretz is, Amalek was from Esav, and he knew that the Yidden were paying up the chayv of Yer Yezarach. So he waited for the Sheba to be over. That way, that's it, we're off the hook. They already took care of it. Now I can go and kill them. This is the epitome of Kviyas Toiv. So you have three parashiyas. Amalek is the epitome of Kafui Toiv. You have Yisroi, that's the epitome of Hakaras HaToiv, and that leads into that. Now, also, it's interesting to note, you know, Bilam also sat on that advisory board. Because I'll say, love on Zeh Bilam. Whether they're Mamish one and the same, or it's a Gilgal or whatever, but they also were the epitome of Kviyas Toiv. Love on Yaakov Avinu made him rich. All of his riches was because of Yaakov Avinu. Because I'll say, he didn't have any sons until Yaakov Avinu came along. Volk me, you made. Both me gemeint that the Hakaras HaTayv would be the child for love and mikish lakaras HaKayv. Bilam, one would imagine that the kaychas that he was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish daimet to Moshe Rabbeinu, he is the Goyim's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Both me gemeint that after tremendous Hakaras HaTayv. So Bilam, lehepach, he was about taiva, he lived his life connected of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He too went to try and destroy the Bnei Yisrael. So he is the epitome of Kviyas Toiv, because I'll say about Lavan. Lavan was not known as Chais and Yaakov. You never find Lavan is known as Chais and Yaakov. Yisroi is known as Chais and Moshe. Lavan is not Chais and Yaakov. Lavan, Chazal say, that the minute Yaakov left, Listim came, they robbed everything, he lost everything. He was left without anything, and Bilam was killed. Bilam was killed, and all of his Kaychas, Mamish went to pot. Oh, but that's the Smichus, Legabi HaKadosh HaTayv. Shem Ha'echot Gershon, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu's first son was Gershon, Ki Omar, Ger Ho'yisi Beres Nachriya, I was a Ger in a foreign land. Shem Ha'echot Eliezer, Ki Elokei Avi Be'ezer Yatzilei Mecherev Pari. The Mefarshim asked the question in the Seder chronological order of events. The first thing should have been, he came to Midian, Ger Ho'yisi Beres Nachriya, Afterwards, I'm sorry, first was Eliezer. Eliezer, Lekevi, Be'ezer, Yatsilayim, Mecharev, Parai. That happened first. Then afterwards, he arrived in Midyan. Why is it that the first son he named Gershom? So the Chofetz Chaim says a very interesting thing. Chofetz Chaim says it's a dover you do when you choose a president. You elect the president. So the previous president is still Mamshech. He still continues. And he helps out to have the transition between one government and another. But everybody knows he's a lame duck president. They're just like overlapping times. Everybody knows he doesn't have any real power. And he's only there to prepare for the coming presidency. But Be'etzem, he doesn't have any real power. So he says, Chazal David HaMelech says that Dor Hoylech Vidor Bo, he says this in Kehelas, Dor Hoylech Vidor Bo. It's not the pshat that after the first generation leaves, that's when the first generation comes. No. The two generations overlap. Bir Hadvarim, when the next generation comes in already, so the purpose of the father is to prepare his son to be the ruler of the family. But then the father has to start thinking, if my son is already here and he's going to be my mamala makain, he has to start making a cheshbon and nefesh. That means my time is getting closer for up there. Generally speaking, you know, young father is a new boy that who thinks about the Olam HaEmes. So that's the way the Chofetz Chaim used to think. It's a gevaldig simcha. You have a son. It's the new generation, though. It's dor bo already. That means I have to train him. But at the same time, I have to train him. I have to remember that I am going to end up leaving, you know, in hopefully in the distant future, but you have to start thinking about it. So he says, that's the pshat over here. That's the pshat over here by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was given, he had this mitzvah, and he made a cheshbon hanefesh when his first son was born. He thought to himself, tak, it's a simcha, it's gevaldik, but I have to start thinking about the Olam HaEmes. So therefore he said, Ger ho yisi be'eretz nochriya, I am a stranger down here. I'm here temporarily, and I zichra have to start thinking about that, right? And the real place over there is in the Olam HaEmes. So Mimela Tishtel that avek by himself, that if I have a son already, it's a simon that I have to start preparing for that world. Ger ho yisi be'eretz nochriya. Now the emes is that stam people don't think like that. Stam people, if you think like that, you'll get depressed. But the Gedolim, people that are emes de Kabbali Avodah, they think about it. Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Besayf Yomav, you know, he lived in a basement apartment, Amshin Inji, dank basement apartment. And Besayf Yomav, the doctor said that he has to, you know, go out to some fresh air. So he went to the outskirts of the city. He stayed at the distant orphan home. And being that he was the Nasi of the distant orphan home, they set up two rooms for him, nice, beautiful, and of course they didn't want to charge him, and he insisted there's no way in the world he's staying there unless he pays full, whatever it was, he insisted. Fine. So he spent his time there, and then a while later he tells his son, I already want to go home. So his son asks him, the doctor said that it's good for you over here, why do you want to go home? So he said, I feel that my time is coming. I don't want to be my triach, the Chevra Kedisha, to have to carry me all the way from over here, all the way to the Beis HaKvarach. He says, Tata, he says, you shouldn't think like that. Those are depressing thoughts. Why are you thinking about that now, whatever? So he said, you should know, me, I'm Omdi Aldaiti. I never one day stopped thinking about the Yaimam of Chazal say, the person has to remember it. He said, me, I'm Omdi Aldaiti. He said, it doesn't get me depressed. It's a reality. Eventually, it's going to hit everybody. So, but that's the way Gedolim think. So that's Zot Chofetz Chaim. When Moshe Rabbeinu named his son, he named his first son Gershom to remember. If the new door is here, it's time for me to remember that I'm only a stranger over here. And I'm not here forever. Yisroi said, Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzol Eschem Yad Mitzrayim Yad Paroi. Mitzrayim is an Umo Kosher. Paroi is a Melech Kosher. The very thing that they conspired to do against the Yidden, to throw the babies into the river, that very same thing happened to them. And the Medrash says that Osid Lovay, it's going to be the exact same thing. But Davar says, Odo Alem, what they plotted against Yidden, that's what's going to happen to the guy. So the Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal for this. He says, the son of a king once went to hike the outskirts in the small towns where the forests were, and a bunch of peasants kidnapped him. And they made him work hard. So he says, you know what you're doing? I'm the prince, I'm the king's son. He says, really? Oh, even better. The king takes our children to the army. The king makes us pay taxes. Oh, we're going to show you already. We're going to give it to you, but good. So he said, you know, my father's going to find you guys. You know, and when he does, you guys are going to be in big trouble. They laugh. Your father's going to find us. He said, your father's out there in the capital, sitting in his palace. We're out. He's never going to find us. Akitsa the Melech, he made every effort to look for his son. And finally, he caught up with these guys. So the mishpachas came to ask the king, please, please, you know, have rachmanis, you know, whatever. So you know what? He says, I'm not going to do anything special to them. All I'm going to do is what they did to my son. That's what I'm going to do to them. So he took them and he made them work hard or whatever. Kibad Dabar says, Adu Aleim. Exactly what they wanted, what they did to my son. That's what I'm going to do to them. No more, no less. They were geyser on themselves exactly what their punishment is going to be. So he touches it into the pasuk, Lesor Malcheim Bezikim, Vinich B'dayim Mechavle Barza. He's going to put them in chains and in iron ropes, whatever it is. Lasses Behemishpot Kosev. But they wrote about themselves. That's exactly what he's going to do to the guy. And therefore, it's Hadaru L'chol Chasid of Haluluka. So what they were guys, but Dabar says, Odu Alem, that's exactly what's going to happen to them. The Chofetz Chaim said over a Maisa. There's a Maisa that happened in Eishishuk. Apparently, this was during the period, I'm not sure it was Mamish during the period of the Cantonists, but it was a similar kind of a thing. That one of these, the son of a butcher, was gechapped for the army. He was a Ben Yachid. So he went to the authorities. He begged them, please have mercy. Give me back my son. And they didn't listen. He bribed them with money. Nothing. Wouldn't help. And they intimated, they hinted that if you give us somebody in exchange with the bribe, then maybe we'll listen. So the guy went into the Beis Medrash, copped the young bacher, picked him up, tied him up, and he brought him to the authorities. And he got his son back. So it's a Yitumul, Mamish, it was a terrible tragedy and a terrible scandal. I feel bad that his son was taken. I mean, I do such a thing. There's nothing they could do about it. After a while, like every tumult, you know, quieted down and people forgot about it. 30 years later, the son of this butcher was already a mavugar, and he worked with his father, and his father asked him to go out into the towns to buy animals for his, he was a butcher. So as he was walking through muddy fields and he got bitten by some rodent. And on the way home already he was feeling sick. And he said he was bitten, and they already figured out it was some sort of a contagious zach. Nobody wanted to deal with him. No doctor wanted to go near him. And whatever. Tzaydova was, he died. And the Chevra Kaddish didn't want to be isolated with him because they were scared of this contagious disease. So the father was forced to carry his son and carry him all the way to the other end of town, to the Beis HaKfaris, and to be Isaac in the Kfur himself. People were saying, oh, what a Rahman is, what's a Rahman is. He said, nobody remembered what happened 30 years before. Chofetz Chaim said, but I did remember. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you can't ask kashas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps cheshbon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not blive a Baal Chai. But Dover says, Odu Aleim, he carried a boy away from his, he ended up carrying, that son that he saved, he ended up carrying. Vayishlach Moshe es Chosnoi. Moshe Rabbeinu sent off his father-in-law. The Yalkut Shemoni brings down a pasuk over here. Lev yoidei amoras nafshei. The heart knows its own bitterness. Uvesimchosoi lo yisarev zor. And in the happiness, the rejoicing of the heart, a stranger cannot share in his joy. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, Kapitel Yudalei. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Bonai nishtabdu betit uvulvein. My sons were meshubid with cement, with bricks, and Yisrael sat in peace, b'shalv in his land. And now he wants to be involved in the Simcha of Torah. He says, no, Vayishlach, Moshe is chayis, and it was Alpi Hashem. And he cannot be here from out in Torah. It's a pella. It's a pella. First of all, I mean, Yisrael was also Moshe Nefesh. Yisrael gave up COVID. Maybe he was in Chayrim, but he could have been in Mitzrayim. He gave up COVID. He gave up COVID by Adonai, by coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by giving up Avodah Zarah. He gave up COVID and he suffered because of it. And he came out here to the Midbar. He was also a Mesiris Nefesh. So how can you have a tain on Yisrael? And second of all, well, let's say he didn't feel the pain of Yisrael in Mitzrayim. What is so terrible if he's here from Mount Tabor? You can't invite outsiders to your own simcha. What is the pshat? So there's different svarim that say in different luskois, but it boils down to the same thing. By Klal Yisrael, it says, "Vayimoru es chayeyam ba'avoyda kosher." B'chomer u'bilveinim u'b'chol avoyda basod. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, B'chomer do kal v'chomer. This is the kal v'chomer. U'bilveinim do libun shmaitze libe de hilchus. Working out the sugis kahalach. B'chol avoyda basod elu habraises. So what's pshat in the Zohar HaKadosh? What does chomer have to do with Kal v'chomer, what does Levanim have to do with working out the halacha? So the Ar Gedal Yos says that the Zohar HaKadosh is telling us over here, what is it that was able to refine Klal Yisrael to the level that it came to a madrega of Matan Torah? They were able to make those Kal v'chomers. They were able to be malabim l'shmaitzel l'b'yilchusa. We'll see, it's really beyond Teva to be able to do that. To be Isaac and Hashem's Torah with the Machshavas, L'mailam and Teva. It takes a tremendous koyach. Where did they get that koyach from? It was B'chomer because they were broken in Mitzrayim. That sowed, that rather plowed the land, plowed them to allow them to accept the brach from HaKadosh Baruch with the seeds of Torah and that it should blossom and it should grow. Bel Yolapian says, Shibud Mitzrayim was the plowing of the Bnei Yisrael. The same way you cannot plow land, you cannot plant on land and have a fruitful land unless you plow it and you make it ready to be able to take in the seeds and take in the moisture and the water and then give off the fruits. Without plowing, it's not going to go. So too, the Bnei Yisrael was Shibud Mitzrayim that plowed them and made them fertile to be able to accept the thing. Those are Dr. Eliopian, and that's really the Zohar HaKadosh. So Meila Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, not the Pesha Yisrael wasn't Moshe Nefesh, but it was nowhere near what the Bnei Yisrael went through. They were fertile, they were ready to be their B'shas Maimon HaSinai, which was an astonishing, mind-boggling event. Yisrael was not ready for that. And if you're not ready for that, then could be you'll reject it. If someone is ready for something, if someone is ready to accept it, and someone takes it in, and someone appreciates it, so then it makes a big ration on it. But somebody that's not holding in that parasha b'chlal, even though he was takiyem ha'isr nefesh, but it was nowhere near what the Yidden went through for 210 years. That land was not plowed, and it wasn't fertile. And Mimela by Maimon Har Sinai, where he saw astonishing giluyim, and HaKadosh Baruch was megala himself to Klal Yisrael, Yisrael was nowhere nearly ready for that. Hashem was makarvim, they gave him COVID, he was zeich in the future, Dairis, Choshev and Dairis came from him, but we're not Maimon Har Sinai, right? And that, it says, uvisimchosoy lo yisarev zar. In the simcha of Klal Yisrael, you cannot get involved. You cannot be part of that. It says, u'maisha ola elo elikim. Maisha Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. So, the Medrash Rabbah quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Olisol Amorim Shavisa Shevi. You ascended up high to Shemayim. You took captives. Lotachto matonais v'odam. You took presence of man. So, Medrash says that the emesis lotachta and matona is really two different nukudas. Lotachta means you made a lekicha. Lekicha is a deal, a business deal, a transaction. Usually by a transaction, you pay money for it. So then it's not a matana. Matana is given for free. And if it's a matana that's given for free, then it's not a lekicha. What's the pshat? Lokachta matanas. So the Kotzke says, the Gevaldik Zach, that the Torah has in it two inyanim. It is a transaction. It is a lekicha, but it's also a matana. It's a transaction in the fact you have to give up something for it. You have to be omo viogeya. You have to be willing to sacrifice. It doesn't just come to anybody. A person can't sit and enjoy the tanugei olam hazeh and sit back and relax and expect to get the Torah. A person has to be omel viogeya. The payment for Torah is amelus and yegiya. And also working on midas, because without midas, the Torah does not take root. It takes something. You have to give something up. That's the amelus viyegiya. So as I say, how's it a matana? It's a matana because number one, as the Medrash says, it's actually Yerushalmi. After everything is said and done, after all of the harvanya, how's it possible for a person to be masik the word of Hashem, which is l'maylam and haseikl? It's only al yidei matana. Yogata matzasa. If you're omov yogeya and you pay for it, it'll end up being something which normally al piderach hateva you shouldn't be able to connect with it. A person is a gashmi. So how does he connect with a dover that's totally ruchni? It has to be a matana, but it's a matana which is given only if you're yogeya. The Yerushalmi says in Shkolim that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was olal amorim, he was lomad v'shachach, lomad v'shachach. He learned and he forgot, and he learned and he forgot, and by the end of 40 days and 40 nights, he was totally, he knew nothing. So he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, I learned and I harvested. He didn't eat anything. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. And after he came, he didn't know anything. What's the pshat? So Hashem says, I want this to be a lesson for future generations. People are going to say that I'm being omel v'yogeya and I don't understand. So learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that he was omel v'yogeya for 40 days and 40 nights and he knew nothing. And then the whole thing was given to him by matan. That's the same thing with amelus and yegiya and Torah. The amelus and yegiya doesn't necessarily always come up with the right. It has to be given by matan. That's number one. Number two, you find talmidei chachamim that are zoiche to so much kol ha'loimed Torah l'shma zoiche l'dvarim harbe to be mechavim to halachid aliva de hilchus the way it should be to be mechavim to kashas and marachas of Torah. It's no revayim with the svarim they put out. That's also a chelik of the matana. That when they're omav yogeh they're zoiche to Torah kol ha'loimed Torah l'shma zoiche l'dvarim harbe. That's given by matana. So that's those of the kotzker. It's takya lo kachta, but at the same time, it's a matana. The pasuk goes on to say, it says the igbalta es ha'om soviv. You should set boundaries of Har Sinai around, roundabout. Lema, he shamar lecha, beware alois bahar, beware from going up to the mountain. Unugaya bekotseyu and touching its edge. Kohanegeya bohor maishumas. Whoever touches the mountain, maishumas, will die. And that's skila. And then it says vital. Isiga bayod, you shouldn't touch your hand to it. Kisokel yisokel. Kisokel yisokel. Yore yore. You'll be stoned or you'll be thrown down. In the hema mishlo yitke. So Sham Shem Rafal Hirsch asks the question, why was it not enough of Nisim B'dei Shemayim? You go up to the mountain, you'll die, you'll die. Why did it have to be Skila's the most chumradik of Mises? So why not Kamshbar Lopun say over here that you're going to get Skila? Also, why did the Behemoths, why they, the Behemoths have a Havana of what Har Sinai is? So after Sham Shem Rafal Hirsch, that's all. It's muchruch to say that this just wasn't a lesson for right now, a temporary thing to tell us that you have to hold back from touching the mountain. This is a chelik of Matan Torah itself. This wasn't just a lesson in how you should deal with the mountain. It's a lesson in how you have to deal with the Torah. And that's why the Torah says it with such a chumra. So there are many different religions in the world. And how do these religions start? One person had a personal experience. He claims he had a revelation, and he claims that he saw miracles. Nobody else did, but he claims that he did. And then he gets himself a following, and he claims he starts teaching them different things. And then slowly but surely, lefi the needs of the individual and lefi the needs of the people that are involved, that religion, it goes through this and it goes through that, and there's a change here and a change there. And the side cover is that people are makir that it's sheker. By Klal Yisrael, it wasn't like that. Klal Yisrael was not going through a human being. Klal Yisrael was a revelation that 600,000, so not just 600,000, that was the minion of Klal Yisrael. Millions saw it. Everybody saw it. It wasn't just a revelation to an individual. They all saw it. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach them a lesson. The Torah and Yiddishkeit is not something that you could touch and you could tamper with. All the other religions, yeah, you could touch it, you could tamper with it, you could change it out here. This guy has a human instinct like this or a human interest like this, and you play around with it, you know, any way you want. He said the Torah is not like that. He Zohar. You have to be careful. Lingoya bahar. Lingoya bikotseyu, even a tiny little bit. It's not just referring to Maimon, to the mountain. It's referring to Davis. The Torah is the word of Hashem. The Torah is Nitzchias. And the Torah, you can't touch. Saying a svara in the Torah. You can't say a svara that's not based on the Messiah. That there is this Chidushei Torah. But Chidushei Torah are all based on Yisoidus that are given over by Messiah. So the Torah is very much makbar on this. If you baltes on sub, you have to set boundaries. You can't touch it. You can't play your hand on it and change it any way you want. Yes, that is a very chumadic thing. Even when it comes to minhagim, even in the rabbanon, you can't touch it, the rabbanon. You can't, you have to be zoyer in the chayach. And the Torah gave over a kayach to the chachamim. And the Torah is very makbid. You can't change around anything. So Maisa once, there was a certain town came to the Chassam Sofer. There was a magefa in the city. Chassam Sofer said, did you maybe, were there any time over on anything? Is there some nichshol in the city that people are over on? Nothing that they know of. She says, there may be any minig that was changed in the city? They thought about it, they said, yeah. So Chevra Kaddish used to have a minig on a certain day, they used to have a tainus, and they used to make a suda, and they used to sell eggs and make a profit on it and use it for tzarchei tzibur. And they stopped doing that. So they said, go right back and put that minig back into place. He said, you don't play around with a minig. And sure enough, they listened then, and the magefa went away. That's ad kidei kach, how humidik it is, there is no change. Now we have plenty of Yiddish guys, it's very colorful. You have Hasidim, you have Misnagdim, you have Ashkenazim, you have Sfardim, you have many different Hasidis and many different Drachim in the Yeshivish world, and different Drachim by Sfardim, many different ways. It's very colorful. But they're all based on one Messiah, and there is no change. It's amazing in the times of the Chofetz Chaim that a group of do-gooders, Askanim, they wanted to change things in the yeshivas because they said it's not sanitary, there's too many bachram in the yeshiva, there's not enough food, there's germs, there's this. There's one fellow involved, his name was Dr. Shabbat. He was not from a Yid. He knew the Chofetz Chaim used to treat the Chofetz Chaim's family. He wasn't from. He said, I'm an avowed apikoris, he said. But he says, every time I see the Chofetz Chaim, I can't, it holds me back from going totally off. There has to be a Bari Eilam. You see the Chofetz Chaim, you see that his body is not working, and still he's going full blast, you know. You have to believe, to some extent. Anyway, he was one of the people that was in charge. Chofetz Chaim wrote him a letter, L'chvayid, Roife, whatever. And he told him, Baruch Hashem, I want you to know that in yeshivas everything is going well, and Masliach and Bachram are learning, and they're shnagging. And then as a postscript, he says, P.S. He says, I want you to know, it says in the Torah, this pasuk he quoted over here, he says, Vivalta sa'am, Yishamru lechem alois bahar unagaya bekotzeyim. If it's usher to touch a mountain, which is not alive, it's a daimim. Kal v'chomer, if you touch talmidei chachamim and you try and move them, imagine what happens to them. You know, He just said that Agaburcha. Anyway, the thing disbanded rather quickly. I once said over this Vart and Shir many years ago when I was in Tells, and as I was saying the Vart, there was an earthquake. Can you imagine? And it was scary. Saying this Vart, he's there, and guy behind him, that was an emistic earthquake. I never experienced it before. You know, it was on Erev Shabbos. I say Divrei Torah before, you know, the last half hour of Shir. As I said the Vart, I couldn't shop.
What year is that?
What year? It had to be at least 30s.